Welcome to Pioneers of Peer. I am John Kelly, your host and the Peer Program Manager at U.S. Green Building Council. Through this podcast series, we will explore stories and hear from industry leaders about what it means to create sustainable energy delivery systems. Today on Pioneers of Peer, we have Brendan Owens, Chief of Engineering at U.S. Green Building Council, who will talk about the vision for the new design and rating system at USGBC called PEER. Let's get started, Brendan. About 4 years ago when we started on PEER development, you were part of that team, and you coached us to focus on performance outcomes and capabilities. What was behind that?
I think when we look back, so LEED's been in the market now for 15 years, and we have over 100,000 projects over on the residential, when you include residential and commercial, that have come through and used LEED as their certification system, and they've used it as a combination of benchmark and design guide and validation tool, and I think we started to understand that there were things that were very, very effective in the way that we crafted some specific LEED credits that were more effective in terms of strategy and delivering on the outcomes than others. And what we wanted, what we're trying to do, as we were trying to do when we were initially building the PEER rating system, was to replicate the successes that we were able to pinpoint from a LEED perspective and sort of bring that thinking forward to a markedly different industry. And the way that a number of those successful LEED credits have worked is that they've essentially defined an objective, and that objective requires some amount of information sharing so that a project team can go through and evaluate the alternatives that they could select in terms of moving forward. That alternative selection and that alternative assessment, when a project team finally picks a thing to do, it sends a signal back up into the market that the thing that they picked is a preferential attribute, right? So if it's a chair and it has high recycled content, people picking high recycled content chairs sends a signal back to product manufacturers who make chairs that's something that they can sell more of if they align their development and their delivery channels with that type of selection, right? So we've seen that cycle where disclosure leads to evaluation, leads to preferential selection, leads to innovation, leads to more disclosure, be something that is very successful at driving. It's a self-reinforcing system. It drives the type of transformation and the type of innovation at all across the industry that we want to see. And we see this seen this in energy efficiency, we've seen this in water, we've seen this in transportation related credits. And we wanted to replicate that where we could. So focusing on the things that we wanted as outcomes of that cycle was a very deliberate thing that we've been working on with all the versions of LEED over the last two development cycles. And, it seemed like a logical thing that we could bring as a lesson that we had learned in the 15 years that USGBC has been developing LEED into the PEER framework.
So you've touched on how rating and design systems like PEER and LEED transform markets. What is it about PEER and LEED that have led to so much investment and innovation?
I think there's the answer to that question really depends on who you are, right? So I think there's a strong stewardship desire from a corporate standpoint that they want to be seen as good neighbors. So if you're a publicly traded company, we've seen a lot of publicly traded companies use LEED to communicate to their shareholders that they are developing in a responsible way and they're investing in a larger set of values, and that's great, but it doesn't give you the reason why a not-for-profit would want to do that, because they don't have the same set of stakeholders. So we've seen a lot of universities use LEED as a as a communication device to their, you know, to their prospective students, to their to their alumni, that they are continuing to steward the endowments and the funding that's coming, and they're investing in it in a way that is, you know, more oriented towards the long-term outcomes of you know, again, climate change, water efficiency, human health, all of those things that we've looked at. So, you know, the rationale behind why you, I mean, corporations are also using it to attract talent, right? So they want to use LEED as a mechanism to demonstrate that they care about the people that they're putting in their building. So they want to give them healthy, you know, vibrant office environments and work environments. And their, you know, LEED gives you a mechanism to communicate that to people. Universities are also using it to sort of, you know, walk the talk. They're giving people degrees for accomplishing a set of tasks, and they're getting degrees for their building. So there's a wide variety of different value propositions. From a peer perspective, I think that we're going to see a similar diversity of uses. But I think that the best analog that I can think of right off the bat is for Muni, right? They are doing it more as a stewardship thing, as a you know, we're taking care of our shareholders who is the community, and that's a really perfect example. So Naperville, when they went through and they did their peer certification, I think that they're going to use that to communicate that they're progressive in terms of the way they think about these things. I also think, and I hope, because this is one of the things that has been very successful in driving LEED, is that organizations start to use it as a competitive differentiator. The landscape on the supply side of the industry is getting more competitive. We know that, and that's a great trend, I think. If we do it right for consumers in the long run, if we do it wrong, you know, maybe not. But I think that in terms of the way that, you know, we've seen the corporate real estate community use LEED, they've used it to basically say that our building is better than the building across the street. You know, if you're looking for a lease in our building, it's LEED certified, and it means LEED comes with all these things that people have come to understand. So, you know, looking at more attractive indoor environments, more energy efficiency, reduced operating costs, better productivity of your employees, all of those things, and that competition has led to a significant amount of investment in LEED and a significant sort of upping of the bar of what the expectation of the consumer is in terms when they're looking for office space in Washington, D.C., for example. And I hope, and I think that we have the opportunity to drive a similar sort of race to the top mentality in the competitive utility markets with peer, because peer can come to mean the same thing that LEED means in a corporate real estate environment. You know, when you're looking at power procurement, you would be searching for a provider who has gone through and made investments to align themselves with the things that peer is trying to deliver, and peer can serve as that credible third party certification of the achievement of those goals. So I think that we can anticipate and hope for the same type of competitive race to the top mentality on the peer side that we have seen play out in the corporate real estate community on the building side.
So you mentioned municipal utilities. We've also certified campuses like University of Texas Austin and industrial facilities like the Hood Dairy. We've essentially given the professionals now in the electricity industry the design and rating system that defines sustainability, which I think was missing, Brendan.
Yeah.
Kind of like where buildings were back in 1995. Yeah. They had 15 or 20 different definitions of a sustainable building. Now the community has come together with basically one system. So we've done the same thing with version one of PEER mm-hmm. for the electricity industry. How does this change the professionals in that industry?
I think if the things that happened in terms of LEED are any sort of crystal ball for what the next, you know, 10 years of the power industry look like, one of the most inspiring, and I'm using that word deliberately, things that I have been lucky enough to witness is the idea that professionals become sort of reinvigorated with their profession as a result of something like lead or peer coming into the market. And what I mean by that is, I've sat in meetings with really, really senior, seasoned, talented, brilliant engineers who didn't feel like lead was doing anything for them. And we sat in a charrette for a day or 2 days. And at the end of it, midway through, you start to see the possibility that the project is going to be more interesting because it's a more integrative approach to thinking about delivering a building. I think it reawakens, when you go back to the fact when you're starting your career, everything's new and everything's interesting, you sometimes get in ruts of, I know how to do this. This is my job. I am just a lighting designer for commercial office buildings in, Cincinnati. And you know how to do that very, very well, but you're optimizing for your one part of the system. And when you bring in something like lead, and when you start to look at the opportunities to take into account glazing and building orientation and think about what those and color in the space and what that means in terms of the ways that it can help and hinder your lighting design, it challenges you to think about your job in a new and a creative way. And I feel like the opportunities on the peer side of the equation are very similar. We have given the power industry a set of guidelines that they have been reasonably good at delivering on. So safety and reliability and making sure that we are doing this in an economically efficient way. And when we start layering in not only reliability but resiliency, not only economic efficiency but environmental efficiency, not only the ability of making sure that the customer their power is on, but that they're also satisfied and they're engaged in this in a much more productive way, and providing those things. I think it opens up a realm of possibility that sort of expands the definition of what quality in this space is all about. And I hope, and I think that we can work to deliver on this. I hope that the same types of things that sort of reawakened the passions for the reasons that people got into building buildings in the first place can be brought to sort of opening up and expanding the horizons of some utility practitioners to sort of give them a better give them a more interesting work experience as they go through their career and open up the opportunities for collaboration in a way that maybe they wouldn't have if something like peer hadn't come in and sort of set the benchmark of where we want to start, where we want the conversation to go and eventually, go forward from.
So this notion of a microgrid, Brendan, or what I'll call a gathering of facilities where facilities come together, 15, 20 buildings now are sort of ganged together and looking at their energy delivery to those buildings. So with this concept of microgrids, how do you see this changing how the building interfaces with the grid?
That's a great question. I kind of feel like the idea of a lot of the things that we're looking at in terms of microgrids are, it's a concrete delivery on sort of the promise of the smart grid, right? We've been talking about smart grid for 25 years now, and I think that a lot of it has just resulted in advanced metering, right? And which is great. I mean, that's certainly a starting point. It opens up opportunities, but we haven't had as integrated a conversation as I think we need to have in order to really, really deliver on the promise of what those portals and what those smart meters give us the opportunity to do. So when we start talking about microgrids, I think it's going to do two things. I think it's going to increase the level of expertise at a building operator scale for the challenges and the opportunities that exist on the other side of the power meter, right? So the building owner and the building operators are going to have to understand what, shifting power from one building to another how that works. And it's going to give them the insight into what happens on a much larger scale on the other side of their meter. And I think that that is a really, really important outcome of the way it's going to change the way that building owners and operators think about design of buildings and about the operations of their buildings, because they're going to start thinking about the incorporation of distributed generation. I think that they're going to start understanding that this that the solution to long-term sustainability in terms of power production is not a one-size-fits-all thing. It's not about net zero buildings entirely only. It's not about massive, you know, centralized generation entirely only. It's about a logical blend of all of the technologies that connect these things and make them conversant with each other. So I'm hoping that it spurs a conversation that is more productive than the conversation of, you know, utility death spirals, because I think that's a wrong way to think about what we're searching for over the next 10 to 15 years. We don't want utilities to go out of business. They play a vital role in doing a ton of different things that only they can do. But at the same time, we want to help them evolve into a place where they don't see the opportunities that exist at a building scale, microgeneration or distributed generation or thermal energy storage or demand response. They don't see that as a threat. So we need to sort of bring all these things together. And I think that microgrids will open up the eyes of the buildings industry in a way that we probably couldn't do it otherwise, just showing them the challenges of what happens on the other side of the meter. And I think that's going to validate a lot of the things that the utilities are saying about the reason that they play such a critical role in how the power gets moved around, distributed, and you know, because that's systems thinking is the only thing that's really going to enable us to be able to deliver on the continuum that needs to evolve out of these two conversations, which are very separate but converging rather rapidly.
So PEER within USGBC is housed within a new initiative called the Energy Innovation. Can you tell us a little bit about energy innovation at USGBC?
Yeah, I'm not sure I would say it's housed in energy innovation. I think that the thing that we're going to be doing, PEER plays a specific role in the power industry, the way that LEED plays a specific role in the buildings industry. And the idea behind energy innovation was to use the two delivery channels that we have, PEER to the power industry, LEED to the buildings industry, to take the ideas that enable the connection of these systems in new ways, take them to market, right? So one of the things that I've been challenged by, I'm a buildings guy by background, you're a power guy by background, and I think that when we first started having conversations, and thankfully this isn't necessarily the case anymore, I don't think we were talking the same language. And I think that we have a myriad of different instances that we can look back on and say, I said this, you heard that, and then, you know, wires got crossed. A lot of times when we were doing demand response, what we heard was, you know, this is a great idea. We would go to a company and say, this is a great idea, right? We would go talk to their buildings people. What you need to do is go talk to the energy people, and they're in a different building, you know, in California. So we would go talk to the energy people, and then we would have a conversation. It would be a great conversation. They would totally get the idea, and they would come back to us and say, you know what, this is a great idea, but you need to go talk to the buildings people. You know, so it was a very obvious example of the fact that these two industries have not traditionally come together and really focused on anything tangible in terms of strategies that we would want to deliver across both of these platforms. So the idea behind energy innovation is to convene that conversation and pull it together and say, we have delivery channels into these different industries, right? But we want to make sure that things that we tell the buildings industry to do don't make the utilities industry and the power industry's job harder, and vice versa. We don't want to make, by deploying technology and strategies in the power industry, we don't want to, you know, shut doors for the buildings industry. So energy innovation is an idea that we've come up with to convene the conversation, to generate very specific, actionable, concrete strategies that we would then take and put into the LEED rating system, take and put into the peer rating system, to make sure that we were working in a coordinated fashion and then moving them into the market in that way.
Great. Thank you so much, Brendan. We really appreciate your time today.
My pleasure. This was fun.